Okay, you are listening to Baptist Basics University. The course is Bus Ministry 101. This is lesson number 10, Discipline on the Bus Route. Once again, I'm Matthew Gage. Appreciate you taking time to listen. One area that is not often covered when people talk about the bus ministry is that of discipline, how to deal with problems, different levels of infractions and stuff like that. I tell you what, it's the downfall of many a bus route. A lot of bus workers can, bus captains can get a bunch of people on a bus, but they can't control them once they do. And I tell you, it's scary. It leads to a lot of problems. Listen, the bus ministry is not about get as many kids on the bus as you can and then celebrate it. Now, there's a lot of work to it. You don't need any more kids on there than you can handle. I know that goes against a lot of thinking that is out there today, but if you can't handle 50 kids, don't pick up 50 kids. You're asking for problems. Now, when dealing with kids in any ministry, you need to have a plan how you're going to deal with them when they act up. Kids are going to act up sometimes. Even little angels will have their off days. So you need to have an idea of what am I going to do? Punishment may be a strong word, but what am I going to do for different levels of infractions? We can say it that way. Sometimes the kids just need a little mild rebuke, just something verbal. And sometimes you can just blow stuff off and ignore it. There comes a point dealing with kids, you've got to just let some stuff go. You don't have time to deal with everything. But you need to be consistent. But the best way I like to think about it is you need to think of, if this happens, how am I going to deal with it? What type of punishment does each infraction, I keep using that word, what type of punishment would each infraction need? Now, I do believe, I think there's different levels of infractions. Some are very simple. It could be just the kids sitting there talking and not paying attention. Well, you can probably get a hold of them just by talking to them, just a verbal warning, or first comes worse, moving them. Now, in other cases, you may find it. Let's say you've got a kid that fights, and he every time he gets on there, he bullies around little kids and gets in a fight. Well, that is something different. You're not going to be able to deal with that just by probably verbally talking to him with just a quick verbal warning. You may have to really work with them, and it may come to in a situation that you may have to kick them off the bus. You may have to suspend them or just totally forbid them from riding anymore. So you need to have an idea of, different levels. You may not can decide every little thing that's going to happen, because believe me, once you figure it all out, the kids will come up with something new to do. I remember the story Brother Horton, our pastor, told when he's teaching and preaching in children's church, that they had bubblegum Sunday and the kids were chewing bubblegum, and he was preaching, and the one kid took the bubblegum out of his mouth, handed it to the kid next to him who chewed on it for a while, who then pulled it out and handed it to the kid next to him, and the gum passed all the way down the aisle and every kid chewed on it. What are you going to do with a deal like that? Probably laugh, but the kids are always going to find something else to do. Now, I am not a harsh disciplinarian when dealing with kids. I think that, hey, kids are going to be kids. They're going to have fun. They're little hyperactive, sugared up fuzzballs that are going to get into things. Kids are going to be kids. You can't eliminate all discipline problems. However, you can do quite a bit to prevent them, and you can deal with them effectively when they come. Now, dealing with kids is a good balance. There's a lot of people that want to be everybody's buddy. They want to be their friends and cut up with them, and that's fine. There's a time and a place for that. But then there's also people who try to be a drill sergeant with kids and just bark orders and expect the kids to sit like statues. And there's a time and a place for that too. But the most effective bus captains are the people who can have a balance of two, who can be stern but can be kind and compassionate also. It's a lot of work, and a lot of it's just being alert and being on top of things and realizing what's going on. Keeping an eye on what's around you. I can't think, there's a word that's eluding me I can't think of right now, but being aware of your surroundings and just being on top of things will go a long ways in helping with that. Now, either one of those extremes, being their buddy or being a drill sergeant, you want to avoid both those extremes. What you want to be is something in the middle. You want to be able to be their friends and have them love you, but at the same time, you need to be able to lay down the law and have the kids respond when you do. What happens a lot of times is, especially if they want to be their buddy, then when something comes up and you need to deal with a discipline problem, then the kids do not react to it because they think, oh, he's just my friend, he's kidding with me, oh, he won't do nothing, he's my buddy. So that doesn't work. At the same time, if you're always being hard and barking orders and you know, and coming down with a harsh fist every time that a kid so much as looks wrong, well, you're going to have a hard time connecting and being a friend to those kids. So let's say it's a balance, and you need to strive hard to be that. Now, if you have enough workers, what I recommend doing is having somebody who is kind of the bad guy, so to speak. Does not need to be the bus captain if it can be helped, but this person needs to be able to kind of roam about the bus and deal with discipline problems. Now, it's not the most popular position to be in unless you've got some kind of ego problem. You might enjoy it. But it really takes a load off the bus captain. The bus captain can run a program, can deal with the kids. The bus captain really needs to be a lot friendlier to the kids. But if you can have somebody to kind of be an enforcer to deal with discipline problems, so the bus captain does not have to. While the bus captain is singing or running a program, this person can go around and deal with kids who are acting up, sitting up. If you can do something like that, that is tremendous. I highly recommend it. If the bus captain sees something, he can send this, bad guy enforcer, whatever you want to call him. I don't know a good term for it, but you can send that designated person to go deal with it. Just takes a load off him, helps him do their thing best. Now, I think I've said this quite a few times, but the greatest lesson you can learn about this is this simple statement: the best way to deal with discipline problems is to prevent them. There's a lot of ways you can do this. One way is to encourage and reward good behavior. Praise the kids that are doing very good. Kids love to be praised. If you can heap on praise for kids that are doing good, immediately other kids are going to perk up and realize, oh, hey, he likes it when people act good, so I'm going to do that too if I can get praise. So if, that's one way to do it. I know that even they do that a lot in public schools. It's kind of a little psychological thing, but they'll, oh boy, I'm so glad, little Johnny, look, I'm so proud of him. He is sitting there being so good. He may be the only person in the class that is, but there's something about it that most kids respond to because they want that praise. They want to be on the teacher's good side. Now, something else you need to keep in mind to prevent problems is to deal with potential problems. What I like to do if I have two kids that are trouble when they sit next to each other, when they get on the bus, they don't sit next to each other. That's just a very, very simple thing to do, and it'll save you a lot of headaches. Some brothers and sisters can't sit next to each other. Some siblings and cousins, they can't sit next to each other because they're going to cause problems. So that's another way of preventing them. Sometimes, separating big kids from little kids, that does some things. Separating boys and girls is a major help, especially the older the kids get. If you've got like a big full-size school bus, but the girls on one side, boys on the other, that will prevent a lot of problems. Sometimes keeping your older kids in the front instead of letting them all go hide in the back will help. But I say, just think, okay, what could happen and how can I prevent it? And, there's all the wise little proverbs and sayings that you'll hear about prevention and being prepared and planning ahead. And listen, they all apply to this. If I can do a little effort to prevent them, that's a problem I don't have to spend a lot of effort later fixing. So That's something to keep in mind. The best way to deal with a discipline problem is to prevent it. Second most important thing to do, I think, is to not give kids a chance to even act up. A good program goes a long way to solving a lot of discipline problems. If you can keep the kids busy and distracted and engaged in a program, they're not going to be fighting or talking or, you know, cutting up the seat with a pocket knife or whatever your kids may do for kicks. As I say, it's amazing what a good program will do. I've stepped on buses before here at our church during vacation Bible school. A bus I didn't normally ride, just happened to ride it a couple times, and they for Bible school, and there was a bunch of kids, 40, 50 kids on there, and it was amazing to me that the kids were just, I mean, bouncing off the walls. Now, most of these kids weren't regular riders, weren't really tuned into a program. And I'm looking around, and there's no workers doing anything. Nobody's trying to do anything. And I'm wondering, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, you know, these kids would act better if we gave them something to distract them. Let's sing songs. Let's play games. I got up and tried to sing songs and stuff, and by then the kids were gone. But, I mean, you've lost their attention. That's another thing. If you're going to do that with a program, get it started early. It's hard. Once you lose control, it's hard to get it back. You got to establish control very early and then maintain it. Now, even when you have a program, you want to avoid downtime, avoid dead spots. Keep a good flow. As soon as you stop singing one song, jump into another one. If you're trying to play a game and you don't have all the stuff ready, sing another song while you're digging through your box trying to get stuff. Just keep it going, keep it flowing. Don't give the kids a chance to even think about doing something wrong. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong in all this. I don't enjoy punishing kids. I want to be their friend. I want to be their buddy. But I've never seen a good bus captain enjoy dealing with discipline problems and dealing with unruly kids. It breaks your heart to do so. You don't want to. You love them so much, and you want what's best for them. But listen, sometimes you've got to lay down the law. Sometimes you have to step up and take control. Sometimes you have to step up and deal with problems. And that may mean taking some very unpopular decisions. It may mean kicking a few kids off your bus route. It may mean your bus not picking up as many kids. I'm telling you, though, it's worth it. Because listen, this is what happens. When you get kids that are discipline problems, your attention is focused on those one or two kids that are causing all the problems, that are making a big ruckus, that are causing scenes, that are fighting, that are talking, that are cursing, that are doing whatever. And when those two kids, which may be, you know, 5-10% of your bus route, all of a sudden they're taking 75% of your attention. Well, that leaves 95-90% of your bus is only getting a fraction of the attention that they deserve. It's not fair. It's the way things work, though. If you want to reach your kids, if you want to be effective, you have to be not good, but you need to be effective at maintaining discipline and maintaining order. You're going to lose kids. Hey, listen, I've seen kids that didn't even want to get on a bus or go to a classroom because there was no discipline. I've seen parents that didn't want to send their kids into classrooms or on buses because of discipline problems. This is a real issue. And listen, if a kid comes home with a big bruise and the mama says, well, hey, Junior, what happened? Well, we got into a big fight on the bus. Where were the bus workers? Well, they were doing something, but they didn't see it. You've lost that kid. You've lost everybody on the street. I've had that happen to me before. You know, they come up and say, well, my little kid said that so-and-so hit him. I didn't see it. I apologize. And, you know, said somebody hit him in the eye. Well, I apologize. I didn't see it. That's a tough spot to be in. I've been hit up like that before, where the parents wanted to know answers, and you sit there dumbfounded because you honestly didn't know anything was wrong. You didn't see anything. The kids acted fine when they got off the bus route, but for some reason when they got home, they told a story. And it may have just been a story, but if you can maintain discipline, I don't know if you can hear that airplane. There's a low flying airplane flying over right now. And another ADD moment for me, but that little, it sounded like a little single prop airplane was flying pretty low. Anyway, where was I? But if you can maintain order and discipline, you go a long way to preventing stuff like that, okay? All right, well, since I've lost my train of thought, let's just jump right into the next section there. I think I was through with that. And we're going to deal with some levels of punishment and... let's see here, go through here. Okay. All right. Now, the first thing, of course, I've talked about you want to do is you want to prevent discipline problems. And let's say separate kids that want to fight, kids that usually act up, sit them up front. Sit workers next to or near them, or put a worker right in the middle of them. If you have a big bus, you probably want a worker sitting on one of the back two rows because that's where all the shenanigans go on. And if you don't see it, you probably remember when you were younger riding a school bus and you knew what went on in the back few seats of the bus. That's where all the troublemakers of the teenagers would go and cause mischief. I remember one time sitting near the back of the bus, I was probably about second grade, and some high school kid untied my shoes and tied them around the little leg of the bench there and tripped when I got up and fell. Now, boy, they got chewed out by the bus driver for doing it, but that's just the kind of junk that goes on in the back of a school bus. So first thing I want to do is prevent it. That's the best thing to do. Put a lot of effort in preventing problems, and you don't have to spend a lot dealing with them later. Okay. The first thing I would do if kids are acting up is I want to verbally warn them. I'll tell you what. Let me go back just 1 second in there to preventing. Something else I think is very important to do is to let kids know what you expect of them. Now, the way I did it is I came up with 5 basic rules. And I used these in the Sunday school class I used to teach of 5 and 6 year olds or 6 and 7, something like that. I taught for a while up at Clay's Mill on Saturdays. I think I've explained all that before, but anyway, I had these 5 rules, and I used them some on the bus route. They didn't work as well on the bus route, but they worked really well in the classroom. But I had 5 simple rules. Let me see if I can remember them. The first one was that you had to stay in your seat. The second one was you had to be quiet unless you were singing. The third one was don't bring alligators to class. And you know, got to have some fun, a little spontaneity there. So as always, don't bring alligators to class. And I had little kids bring little alligator figurines and stuff. And we always had fun with that. The fourth one, I think, was you had to sing if you knew the songs. And the fifth rule was you had to have fun. Now, those were simple little deals, and the kids would quote them to me. I've seen people make signs and stuff. But if you can do that, condense what you expect from the kids down to 4 or 5 things and kind of in a fun way like that, it goes a long way to help them because kids then know what they are expected to do. As I say, consistency goes a long way, but just kids knowing what they're supposed to do helps because, as I say, most kids will love you and they want your praise, they want your attention, they want you to like them, so they're going to do what you want them to do. That's just a very natural reaction from little kids. So let them know what you want. Just come do that. 4 or 5 simple rules, and that goes a long way. Okay. Going back to where I was before, the verbal warning. When a kid or kids, the first thing I want to do, minor infraction, let's say that they're talking instead of singing, or they are... riding on the seat with a pen or something, and I've just caught them doing it. They hadn't done a lot of damage or anything. I'm not going to yell at them, but I am going to let them know they need to stop and straighten up. And, this is it. I'm not doing this again. Stop it right now. and then go on. Don't call them names. Don't beat them over the head. Just a quick verbal warning. Hey, stop that right now. And I don't like calling out kids and making examples of them, so you may not need to do it publicly. But even, hey, those kids, y'all kids back there, y'all better pay attention right now. You may not have to call them, hey, Cody, Casey, y'all straighten up. Listen, doing that sometimes can be embarrassing. Sometimes you need to get their attention, but you ought to know your kids well enough to be able to do that. But the main thing I want to stress this is don't yell at the kids. Don't just jump on their case. The first little step I have is to verbally warn them, say, look, that's enough. Don't do that anymore. Okay? Now, after I've done that, the next thing I want to try to do is take away a reward or the promotion that's going on. Tell the kids, okay, listen, I've told you once, if you keep doing that one more time, if I have to get on to you one more time, you're not getting pizza. You're not getting candy, something like that. Whatever the promotion is, threaten to take it away from them. That usually goes a long way at stopping things right there. And besides that, I don't want to reward bad behavior. I don't want to give those things that I meant for good to kids that are acting bad that don't deserve them. To me, all the promotions and stuff, they're rewards. They're not rights. These kids don't just deserve it because they got on the bus. They need to earn it once they get on the bus, too. Okay? So, first off, I would verbally address it. Second of all, I'm going to threaten to take away. And by the way, when you threaten something, back it up. If you say one more time, and do it. Okay? If you say they're not getting any more candy, they're not getting any more candy. Okay? Stick by your word. Kids need consistency. Third level I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to parents. Notice there's probably a big jump some of y'all think from here. You know, well, why did you go from just verbally warning to threaten this? You didn't physically do that. No, you cannot physically touch kids. Period. End of story. I'm not. You can get with the Christian Law Association and stuff on this, but you never need to touch a kid. Never, ever, ever, ever. The only possible exception that I have heard in this, I'm not a lawyer, don't quote me on this as an authority, but is that you can physically restrain a kid if they're going to cause harm to themselves or another kid. Now, you need to be very careful. I'm talking like either a suicidal kid or you're breaking up a fight. And even then, you keep it to a minimum. You're asking for a lawsuit. So, listen, you cannot get much beyond verbal or withholding privileges. You cannot take it much further than that. And usually, just doing that's enough to intimidate a kid into straighten up. If that does not work, you need to seriously consider not letting that kid ride. Because if you can't control them with that level of discipline, you're going to have a ton of problems with them. Just don't even mess with them. I know that sounds harsh and you know, doesn't sound very loving on my part, but I've seen too many bus routes and bus ministries nearly ruined because of one or two kids that nobody had the guts to deal with. We've had kids at our church that kept getting picked up. We'd take them home and kick them off for a couple weeks, and they'd come back and cause the same problems. Listen, there's got to be a line that says, I'm not dealing with you anymore. It's not very fun. We'll deal with that in a little bit. But after, if the kid keeps causing a problem on the bus and I can't verbally deal with it, I can't prevent it, and I can't withhold reward or something, the next thing I'm doing, we'll talk to parents. Now, you can't threaten them with this a lot of times. I'll talk to your mom. Well, so what? You know, that usually doesn't work because, you know, they always say that. The teachers at school, so I'll send a note home to your mom. You know, nobody ever do it. When I've had to do this, I have done it when I drop the kids off. I don't wait till next Saturday if I can help it. If they messed up and did something on Sunday that deserves their parents to talk to, I'm going to talk to them when we get off. I'm going to walk up to the house with them. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But, I mean, I'm going to deal with it right then. Don't wait. You need to deal with it right then, okay? When you're dealing with parents, I try not to be very hard-nosed about this. what I do is I'm going to be almost apologetic for having to talk to them. I don't want it to sound like I'm enjoying this, and I don't want it to sound like their kids are just awful. I'll apologize up and down for having to have I'll almost apologize for what happened. I don't want them to blame me for it. I want to let them know I'm truly sorry that this happened, and honestly, it's partly my fault because I should have done something to keep it from happening. But I'm gonna tell them what the kids did, and I'm gonna be honest. If the kid's a good kid and this is just a rough week, I'm gonna let them know. And a lot of times, maybe I'd come short of lying to tell that to most people. I want people to know that, hey, we don't have this problem every week with your kid. Unless that's very true. And then, as I say, we go back to what we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I'm going to tell them, listen, they were good, but we just had this little problem. And, I tried to get them to stop and tell them. And I just want to let you know that, I can't have this behavior. And I don't recommend punishment. Like, well, I think you need to have a talk with them, or you need to give them a spanking, or you need to ground them, or you need to deal with it. I'm not going to do that. That's up to, I'm just informing the parents, hey, we had a bad week, and little Johnny started a fight with little Bill, and listen, I can't have that. I think it's just a bad week, and I think they're just all tired. It's been, but I just want to let you know what happened. Okay, that's the way I deal with that. That's maybe along my personality lines, but that's the way I would deal with it. Now, the next thing is suspension. This is not fun to do. I've had to do it a few times. It needs to be done, and it needs to be done more often than it occurs. We want kids to come, and there's nothing better for them than church. But at the same time, it is a privilege to come. If they won't shape up, if they won't act right, if they will not respond to discipline, I'm going to try to get their attention. So what I'm going to do is say, listen, 2 weeks, you're off. I'm not picking you up for two more weeks. That's what they do on the school buses. That they'll suspend, at least they used to when I rode them. They would suspend kids. It's not harsh. Rats, somebody is calling me. Okay, had to stop and answer the phone there. Apologize for that. That's not strictly an ADD moment there like I normally have. My phone was ringing if you heard the banjos there. By the way, yeah, that is just the greatest ringtone. If you can get a ringtone with banjos, people just look at you so much, so funny. It's great. Anyway, talking about suspending kids here. I know that a lot of people are hesitant to do it because they don't want to withhold good as a punishment. It's like people don't send their kids to bed without dinner like they used to, supper around here. But they don't send them to bed without giving them something to eat nowadays. That used to be a pretty standard punishment. Why? It's because all the poor little kids, they need their food, and we don't want to do that. That's the modern mindset. However, I'm not going to let one kid ruin a bus ride. I'm not going to let one kid negatively affect everybody else. It's amazing what one bad apple will do. You can't let this bother you. It's hard to do, I know, but if you're going to reach the majority of your bus route, there's a minority you just can't spend all your time dealing with. Now, when I suspend somebody, I am going to talk to the parents. I'm going to let them know. Same basic guidelines like I told you about before. I mean, I'm going to look, little Johnny, we've had problems with them fighting. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them a couple weeks off, and I'll come back in a couple weeks. Or I'll stop by and visit, but I can't allow him to drive for a couple weeks. And I want him to be there, and I hate that it's come to this, but I want to try to get his attention. So some parents are going to blame you, and hey, if you've got a kid that gets to the point of suspension, sometimes that's enough to wake kids up, sometimes not. But if you've got a kid that you're about to suspend and the parents get mad and say, oh, we're never sending him back to your church again, you might just be better off. You might just be better off. Usually a week or two suspension is as far as I'm going to go. If a kid would start a fist fight, you know, 2 weeks probably. If they're just being a handful and it's, you know, first time offense, maybe a week. Honestly, this is a pretty high level to me. This is kids who start a fight. Now, I've told the story before. I don't know if I've told it in this series of lessons, but I had a little 4-year-old boy spit in my face one time. A little 4-year-old black boy, and he was standing in the middle of the aisle, and I told him, I said, I won't call his name, but I said, go sit down. And he didn't go sit down, and I kind of bent down and you know, got kind of on his level, and I said, you need to go sit down. And he'd get mad, you know, just cringe up. But anyway, he spit in my face, and oh boy, that's something I've never had that done to me, and that I shouldn't have done it. I picked him up and set him down in the seat and told him he better sit right there. I had somebody tell me afterwards they were afraid I was going to snap. It's not very fun. I mean, honestly, you wouldn't expect a little 4-year-old boy to do that. Now, how did I deal with it? When we dropped them off, I went with went up to the door with him, his brother, sisters. I talked to the mom and I told her what happened, and she was just about ready to kill him over it too. She kept apologizing. I just said, look, I know he's a little kid, but next week he's not right. I want to try to get his attention. We're not going to have this. So, and she kept apologizing and stuff. And sometimes you've got to do that. Sometimes you've got to have a big gun in your back pocket to deal with some of this stuff that comes up. You don't want to pull the trigger on this, but sometimes you need to, for the good of your bus route, for the good of everybody else in there. Sometimes you need to exercise some discipline. And by the way, let me throw this out there. It's not in the notes. If you've got a kid acting up at church, don't think twice about taking them home. Now, don't do it by yourself. Get somebody to go with you, but hop back in the van, bus ride, you know, maybe gas miles and stuff may not be the best deal to take one kid home. Plus, a lot of room to run around. But, hey, I've loaded up kids before in my car and took them home. No law says they have to stay there. Now, sometimes, you know, the parents are gone and stuff. You end up kind of getting stuck with them. But, you know, if the kids are that big a handful, I'm taking them home. I mean, like, you know, they're running around, won't even go to class, not listening, pulling fire alarms, stuff like that. Just take them home. Don't even mess with them. You're asking for trouble trying to corral them and stuff. Just don't mess with them. Load them up, take them home. Usually that's what they want to do anyway. The final thing I'm going to do, if it gets up to this level, and I hope it doesn't, if I can't prevent it, if I can't warn them about it, if I can't withhold privileges, and if suspensions ain't even kicking, dealing with it, I'm going to kick a kid off. Listen, I'm not going to sacrifice 50, 60, or even 15 kids for the sake of one little hooligan. Okay? Say, boy, Brother Matt, that sounds harsh. Listen, you've got to run your bus route. Don't let the bus route run you. Don't let the kids run you. And let's say you're going to kill a bus route. You're going to kill your kids. You're not doing injustice to those kids who want to be there. You're not doing injustice to those kids who want to serve God if you have to keep dealing with little hooligans. Now, I've never personally had to kick anybody off a bus route. I've seen it done. Usually for fights and stuff like that. Hey, listen, I've seen and even heard of, but I've actually witnessed it. I've seen churches call the cops to come up and take kids home. Now, a lot of times they may not do it, but I mean, I've seen that stuff happen. I know it at in bigger churches and inner city stuff, you get into some of this mess, but I had some friends up at Commonwealth the year before I went, my freshman year, I guess it would be about year 2000 or so, they had some kids kind of start a gang fight, and they had to physically restrain about four or five kids and call the cops. And, hey, you know, if that happens, they're not coming back to my church. not without some serious, serious help. We've had that happen here. We have a very big vacation Bible school on weeknights, you know, during the week, during the summer. And just this year or last year, we had a situation come up that very similar to that, where we had some boys that just, I mean, were awful. They didn't want to be there, and they didn't care. They were about 11, 12 years old, and they were running around, wouldn't go to class, running around the building. And finally we said, hey, look, we'll take y'all home. And they cussing us, and I think one of them flipped us off. And but I rode with the guy that took them home. We went and dropped them off. And a couple of nights later, he happened to be back over there visiting, and one of the little boys who was in that group came and apologized to him, said, I'm sorry. He said, I want to come, and I promise I'll be good. And they let that kid come back. You know, that's a pretty rare deal. But those other kids, they weren't showing their face in our church again. Well, they didn't want to, you know. But anyway, if kids will not respond to correction, if they're continually distraction, don't mess with them. I've talked about a bunch. Sometimes we focus so much on them that we lose the good ones. Listen, you're not there to run a reform school. Now, if you want to, if that's your heart, go ahead. But if you got some little kids that really are trying to serve God, really trying to do something, just don't mess with some of these kids. It's not worth the effort most of the time. Now, often kicking off is not punishment, you know, or is not permanent. It is punishment, but it should be. Some kids think it's punishment having to come to church. And maybe the way some church bus ministries are ran, maybe they're right. But this often is not permanent. Sometimes just the fact that they've been kicked off wakes them up. And you've got their attention. If you do allow them to come back, I would suggest that you give them like a little probation period and say, okay, look, I'll pick you up, but we're not having anything major in the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, or, you know, sayonara again. So, let it come that level, but I'm telling you, especially if you get into some like these inner cities, picking up kids out of the projects and stuff, you're going to have this issue, and you're probably going to have to take these steps. Shoot, even picking them up out of a trailer park, you're going to run into this. We had that happen. Picked up a family, and brother and sister, and somebody's had a little girl with them, was like a cousin or something. But the boy was trouble, and we finally, and I kind of knew it, and finally we kind of had an issue, and you know, we just kind of quietly stopped going by there. Didn't make a big deal about it, but they said they were going to a different church and stuff too, but we never have really made an effort to get them back, and it probably for the good. We probably saved us a big headache. And that's another thing you can do too. I mean, if you've got kids that maybe aren't all that faithful and you've got a problem, just, you know, quit going by there. Sometimes that's a help. And, you know, you get to save a little face doing that sometimes. But you can definitely handle stuff that way. Sometimes just quietly disappear. That's another very good way of dealing with stuff. Because just, you know, stop going by somewhere. But anyway, I hope that has been a help to you. I know it's run kind of long. We're approaching 40 minutes right now, including my little ADD moments and having to answer the phone. But listen, that is a very, very, very important lesson. I hope that it's been a help to you. Listen, if you don't get anything else in this lesson, or in this series, I hope this lesson you've got and took to heart, because this is probably one of the biggest areas, not even probably about, I think it is one of the biggest areas that we fail at on our bus routes, is maintaining discipline and maintaining control. I hope that I've helped you to do that so you can help reach your kids better. Now, as I say, go out there, love those kids to death, go find some new ones, get them on your bus, let's see some souls saved, some lives changed, but at the same time, let's enforce some rules, let's keep control, and let's prevent it, number one, okay? Let's prevent those problems, okay? All right, well, that'll end it for this lesson, and we'll see you in the next lesson. Thanks.